Massachusetts Senator John Kerry says that middle-class families are worse off today than they were 4 years ago. This week, the Democratic presidential hopeful released what he calls a misery index of economic indicators showing how families have fared under the Bush administration. President Bush can point to his own statistics to show the economy is getting better, NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
Harry Truman used to beg for a one-handed economist, someone who wouldn't counter every observation by saying, on the other hand, nowadays presidents and those who would be president find value in the flood of contradictory economic news. It helps them to justify almost any political position. In a radio address earlier this month, for example, President Bush pointed to the Labor Department's report showing more than 300,000 new jobs created in March. The president called that evidence that his tax cuts are working.
Our economy's momentum is building. People are finding jobs, and the nation's future is bright. America's families and workers have reason to be optimistic.
John Kerry disagrees, arguing President Bush has no real plan for prosperity. In a speech at Georgetown last week, Kerry drew on his own statistical weapons to argue the president's policies have failed.
The industries that are expanding pay an average $9,000 less than the ones that are contracting. George Bush talks about a recovery, but he doesn't seem to realize that today we have a wage recession in America, with average Americans making $1,200 less a year.
It's no wonder the two men paint such different pictures. Surveys show the economy is the number one issue for voters, and how they feel about it could well determine the outcome of the November election. What's more, the government churns out so much economic data, there's plenty for both men to spin in their direction. For example, while the president pointed to last month's robust jobs increase, Kerry focused on the number of people working part-time. Senior economist Scott Anderson of Wells Fargo agrees that a large number of people settled for part-time work in March, even though they'd prefer to be working 40 hours a week.
Either they couldn't find the hours or they couldn't find the type of job they were looking for. So what it tells us is there's still a lot of people underemployed for economic reasons. So that suggests that the labor market isn't as strong as some of the other indicators have been showing.
For those who are working, real wages have risen slightly since President Bush took office. But families, in which some members may not be working, have seen their median income fall. As for Kerry's argument that new jobs tend to pay less than the old ones they replace, Anderson agrees, up to a point.
But if you look at where the job growth has occurred, a lot of it's been in temporary help employment, tourism, and trade, which tends to have lower wages. So yes, so far in the recovery, I think that statement's true, but longer term that may not be the case. You're going to see some higher paid jobs created.
Bear Stearns chief global economist David Malpass is more optimistic. He suspects the government may be underestimating the number of new jobs being created, and he challenges the critics who say those jobs aren't good enough.
Remember in the 1980s, there was the allegation that we're losing the old jobs, the manufacturing jobs, and substituting hamburger flippers for those. But what we found was that, yes, there were more hamburger flippers, but there were also more computer programmers that were busily inventing the Internet and creating the U.S. leadership in new technologies in a lot of areas.
Given that constantly changing economy, Malpass says, it's hard to judge any president's term by just comparing snapshots of now and 4 years ago. Instead, he says voters should consider which policies are most likely to help the economy. And that's a question statistics can't answer by themselves. Scott Horsley, NPR News.